محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم رب شهر رمضان الذي أنزلت فيه القرآن وافترضت على عبادك فيه الصيام، صل على محمد وآل محمد وارزقني حج بيتك الحرام في عامي هذا وفي كل عام، واغفر لي تلك الذنوب العظام فإنه لا يغفر غيرك يا غفار يا الله. In these last remaining nights and days of the month of Ramadan, have mercy on me. Bless me with the special blessings that the greatest and most special of your creation, Muhammadun Alu Muhammad, have received on these nights. Ya Allah, don't allow me to feel that I don't want to worship you, that I don't want to be with you. One of the wrong feelings we can have is to get tired of worship itself, tired of being with Allah, tired of being in the worshiping environment. I want to get out, do wrong things, al-ayyadu billah. I want to go where I see people sinning, al-ayyadu billah. Ya Allah, your month is coming to an end. Don't allow me to go back to wherever I was before this month of Ramadan. Allow me to continue and keep rising and ascending towards you. يا صاحب الزمان. We thank you. It's because of you that Allah gave us the great blessings. Ya Mawla, thank you for dua al-iftitah that we recite every night. Thank you for teaching us these words. We apologize for our shortcomings. You probably have many deep meanings in mind. I read them, I don't ponder enough. I apologize for my shortcomings, Ya Mawla. You've helped us remember you in your dua every night. I hope you don't take that away from me. Allow me to remember you every day and every night. If I forget again, just like I've done the last years after the month of Ramadan, I beg you, you come, you remind me again. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, we ask Allah to protect what He has given us in this month of Ramadan, and shaitan is not able to take it away from us. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده الظاهر بالكرم مجده الباسط بالجود يده الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيمة وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق وفالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا ظهير يعاضده قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصي ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد فكفاني وبهجة مونقة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله، مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له، أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا، يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به، وانصره وانتصر به، وانصره نصرا عزيزا، وافتح له فتحا يسيرا، واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله، وتذل بها النفاق وأهله، وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك، وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا، وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا، واشعب به صدعنا، وارتق به فتقنا، وكثر به قلتنا، وأعزز به ذلتنا، وأغن به عائلنا، واقض به عن مغرمنا، واجبر به فقرنا، وسد به خلتنا، ويسر به عسرنا، وبيض به وجوهنا، وفك به أسرنا، وأنجح به طلبتنا، وأنجز به مواعيدنا، واستجب به دعوتنا، وأعطنا به سؤلنا، وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا، وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين. اشف به صدورنا، وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا، واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك، إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا، إله الحق، آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه، وغيبة ولينا، وكثرة عدونا، وقلة عددنا، وشدة الفتن بنا، وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله، وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله، وبضر تكشفه، ونصر تعزه، وسلطان حق تظهره، ورحمة منك تجللنا، وعافية منك تلبسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرباح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين for the hastening and the return of our imam let's recite the salawat اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. One of the topics that is good to discuss in the last nights of the month of Ramadan has to do with the Quran as the month which is known as Rabi'ul Quran, the spring of the Quran. It's when the blossoms and new leaves of the Quranic spirit starts to blossom and boom in the hearts of the believers and in the community of the believers. This month is coming to an end. A few pointers and reminders are, I think, necessary for us. Not the usual reminders that we're going to have to keep doing and keep reminding, as we are told, we need to read the Quran more, we need to reflect upon it. Those reminders aside, there's some other reminders related to the Quran. One idea which is important for us to remember about the Quran is what it contains. The Holy Quran obviously contains guidance. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنَ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِّنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. That's clear. We don't have any doubt regarding that, inshallah. And because of that, we need to refer to the Quran. But what I intend of that and what I'm trying to get to from that is for us to understand and think about the concept of guidance itself. What is guidance? What exactly does this mean? Perhaps if we understand what is intended and what guidance means, that would create more of an incentive for us to refer to it and learn the guidance that is there. The word guidance is pretty clear in terms of the literal meaning. The problem we have with guidance when we talk about it or when we refer to the Quran's guidance, the guidance of the Ahlul Bayt, is about the instances of that. What exactly does this entail? What exactly does this include? That's one thing, one area that we find a little ambiguity or confusion regarding it. The other area is perhaps related to the direction where this guides us to. We have some rough ideas on both of those, but it's good to know or every now and then remind ourselves of what this is, the answer to both of those. What type of things are included? Let's first talk about the second part, the second question. What is this guiding to? There are certain words that are used in the Quran itself. For example, a verse that I think I have mentioned a number of times in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَهْدِي بِهِ اللَّهِ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Quran will guide those who are seeking His pleasure to the Subul as-Salam. Subul is the plural of Sabil, which means path, the secure paths. He will guide them to the secure paths. وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He will take them out of darkness into light. وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. He will guide them towards a صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, a straight path. So this verse, do we see what it guides us to? Where are we trying to get to from this? Out of the three things that are mentioned here, one of them is Subul as-Salam. God will guide the secure paths. A path is something that leads to a certain destination. What's the destination? We're talking about guidance as the same idea. What are we guided to? Okay. The last part of it, it says, وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, towards a straight path. Again, that's a straight path. What does the path lead to? Where we're going to get to? The one line that's in there that talks about where it's going to lead us to, it says, وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. You are in darkness. You're going to be taken out of darkness into light. So light is a destination. This is what we understand. This is one idea that has been mentioned here. It gives us a little bit of clarity. That Siratul Mustaqim that's been mentioned here, and Subul As-Salam that's mentioned in this verse, if we check other verses of the Quran, we will find similar wording that helps us understand what is intended here. Together, those other verses and this verse will tell us about that destination. It starts to make it a little more clear. For example, we have a couple of verses at least in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Instead of calling it Sirat al-Mustaqim, he calls it Sirat al-Aziz al-Hamid. Sirat al-Aziz al-Hamid. Okay. Not As-Sirat al-Aziz al-Hamid. For those who know the Arabic language or are familiar with it, if it's As-Sirat al-Aziz al-Hamid, it means Al-Aziz al-Hamid is a description of the Sirat. The path is Aziz and it's Hamid. However, it's Sirat al-Aziz al-Hamid. That means the path of Al-Aziz al-Hamid. Who is Al-Aziz al-Hamid? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sirat al-Aziz al-Hamid. The path that is the straight path, the destination is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we have in this verse. The word subul, okay, subul as-salam, that verse said, in the last verse of Surah Al-Ankabut, which we recited on Laylatul Qadr, on the night of the 23rd, it says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Subul as-salam becomes subulana. The secure paths are our paths. Subulana, the paths that lead to us. Again, leading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The guidance leads to Allah. This is one idea we get. What does that mean further? Is there anything else that we have about this in the Quran? Yes, we have other teachings as well. We have other verses, we have other lines in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. For example, we have a verse that says, whoever takes our reminders, لَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا, we will give them the good life, or a good life. طَيِّب means good. And حياةً طيبة, it's good from all aspects and all dimensions, and in every aspect of it, there's goodness. حياةً طيبة, this is another idea that we have. And there are a list of those that pretty much tell us about this. And this is not only in the hereafter where we have that. In paradise, the حياةٌ طيبة, we understand. No, لَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَة. It's limitless. It's not limited to the hereafter. It includes this world as well. The last line that brings these together, that we'll try to, inshallah, take a better look at this whole scenario or all of these verses put together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of Surah Al-Qamar, right before Surah Al-Rahman, sometimes reciters connect these verses. He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن المتقين في جنات ونهر في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر. That حياةٌ طيبة, which of course this verse talks about the hereafter, that part of it, which we said the other verse is not limiting it to the hereafter. حياةٌ طيبة can start in this world and continue on, and it should start in this world and continue on. And then عند مليك مقتدر, that حياةٌ طيبة, that in that verse talks about the hereafter part of it, is عند مليك مقتدر, in or with the sovereign which is mighty. عند مليك مقتدر, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically the destination is this, that we are, this guidance is leaving the darkness. The Quran describes the state that we are in as the state of darkness compared to what we are going to move towards. This is darkness. We're moving out of, if we take that guidance, we're supposed to be moving out of the darkness into light. Where is light? What is light? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in terms of our experience with the foods, the interactions, the everything, all aspects of life that we understand, all of that is going to be good. So it's good life with good company. Okay, this is where the guidance of the Quran will take you in this world and in the hereafter. Now think about this yourself. What does this entail? What does this include? What does this mean? Does it mean that, again, are we talking about the hereafter here, something ambiguous? Or can we relate that to our experiences? What I insist on is to relate that to our experiences. We see all the shortcomings, the shortages, the deficiencies. You like to have good relationships. There are obstacles both ways, in terms of my relationship with the other person, whoever it may be, my siblings, my parents, my relatives, cousins, uncles, whatever, spouse, children, and so on, friends, neighbors, co-workers. You like to have a good relationship with people, but then there's so many obstacles in the way. My own personal problems, and they probably have some problems as well. It doesn't allow us to have at least a consistently pleasant relationship. In terms of food, we don't always have good food, pleasant food. In terms of the weather, we don't always have pleasant weather. In terms of the living conditions that we're in, the house we're in, the equipment we have, the technology that we have, whatever it is that we have with us, it's not necessarily what we would like to have. There's better stuff out there we don't have. Okay, so on all those levels, حياةٌ طيبة includes all of that. لَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you follow this path, you will definitely get to حياةٌ طيبة with Allah. A pleasant life with Allah, good company, the best company possible. And the best items, the best pleasure, the best lifestyle, the best anything that you can enjoy, that all of it is there. This is what it's supposed to lead to. In this world and the hereafter. The hereafter part of it is definite. We know for sure that's going to be there. This world part of it is a little tricky here to see how much of it, what degree of it we're going to be receiving. But whether it starts in this world or it doesn't start in this world fully, because some of it does start, this is what we have. This is the dream of every single human being. It's really a dream that we would have. Who doesn't want that? What do we do, whatever we do for? We wake up, we clean our room because we like to have a pleasant environment. We buy fragrances, candles, whatever, to make it smell good, look good. Buy furniture that makes it look good. The size of the house is important. The flooring of the house, the ceiling of the house, the lighting of the house. Then what we prepare for food, working to get the money to do what we do on a regular basis is to achieve that. And as much as we try, we don't achieve it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're looking for that, and all of you are, I created you. This is the path to it. It's very simple. This is the path that you're going to get to a very pleasant life, hayatun tayyibah, and with great company. Who would want, all of us have got deficiencies. All of us have deficiencies. Enjoying somebody's company, when you see deficiencies in them, when there's something that they do or they say that's unpleasant, there's something wrong that they say, you don't enjoy that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have any flaws. We don't feel close to Him. We don't have that connection. We don't have that communication. We don't feel the blessing of His presence. We don't know what it feels like. But just imagine the most pleasant person to be around, that does not have anything that is going to hurt you. That person is nothing compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're given that opportunity of feeling the presence and being in the presence of the Almighty, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what that is, and that should give us a lot of incentive. This is what we're all looking for. And God tells us, don't go these other paths. You're not going to get to it. Don't think that you go down the path of a certain career that's going to get you hayatun tayyibah with good company. This is what's going to give it, get it for you. The other thing is what all in it includes. This limits our reference to the Qur'an. If we think the Qur'an only talks about the areas of guidance, or about the dhikr of Allah, about prayer, about fasting, about zakat, about going to hajj, well, how long do we spend out of the 24 hours? How much do we spend on these items, on these activities? In terms of, now, especially when you look at dhikr as what to say, a word to say, something, a sentence to say, how much are we going to be involved with that? Most of the day and night, we're not going to be involved with this form of prayer, that form of dhikr, with zakat, with khums, we're not going to be involved with that. If we limit and we think without going, we have preconceptions about the Qur'an. If we think that the Qur'an includes guidance regarding these items, then okay, we're not going to go to the Qur'an for everything else that's there. When we have a question, we're not going to go to the Qur'an. But if we realize that the Qur'an has got a lot of answers, a lot of guidance in regards to every aspect of life, every aspect of life, family life, political life, social life, interactions with Muslims, interaction with kuffar, interaction between the genders, it's got guidance regarding all of that. If you are able, if we are, that goes back to the first point that we discussed, if we go by those instructions, we'll get to hayatun tayyibah. The reason why We're doing all this stuff. We still don't have a pleasant marriage. We still don't have a pleasant family to deal with. We're still not pleasant for them. They're not pleasant for us. It's momentarily, it's short times that we enjoy that, and then something happens. We have a bitter moment or days, and then it's normal. It's not enjoyable. It's not unpleasant. We're just living life. And then you get another moment of pleasance and so on. The reason why we're not getting there is because we're not going by these instructions, and we're not referring to the book that has all these instructions in it. And then we're wondering why, you know, what the problem is. And then we start going to other sources. That's the problem. We don't think the Quran has it. Where do we go? We go to counseling. Who's the counselor? What's the counseling based on? Based off of shirk, based off of a psychology that has completely misunderstood the human soul. And then we get advice from them in order to know how to fix our relationship. It's part of Hayatun Tayyiba. If you want Hayatun Tayyiba, the guidance for it within the context of that relationship is in the Quran. It's not limited, the material of guidance, the areas of guidance, the topics of guidance. It's not limited to those few items that we identify as religion and that's it. No, all aspects of life, our thoughts, our relationship again with everyone, all of that is in the Quran. And if you do it, God says this is the path that's going to get you to Hayatun Tayyiba. It's good for you. You're going to enjoy that. Wallah, we have seen people, I swear to God, we have seen people that are enjoying Hayatun Tayyiba in this world. All the worries and all the problems that everybody deals with, you see this person, like, no, they're in this world, they're dealing with everybody, but you can see in them that they're really on another level. Their life is different. They deal with everyone. I can deal with a certain group of people, and then when I start dealing with people that have a difference of opinion with me, I start feeling uncomfortable. This person comes, I start feeling uncomfortable. That person is relaxed, enjoying it. Whether it's a person who's pleasant, I know some of them, their children have turned out to be very different than them. Yet, they're able to be with those children and have fun and not go their wrong ways. Those children have gone a wrong path. But they know exactly what God has said about how to deal with this child. What to say, what not to say. What to worry about, what not to worry about. What's my responsibility and what's... After I have done that, I don't have to worry about anything. You're relaxed. Relaxed. We've seen them, and therefore we can testify that it's really the case. Hayatun Tayyiba can start right here. And just imagine if people collectively did this. If human society decided to accept that guidance and implement it, everyone would enjoy such a pleasant life. Everyone, without exception, everyone would enjoy very pleasant life. The reason why we have trouble, we have problems, is that some people decide that this is wrong. In order to get to the life I want, I'm going to take what belongs to others. Go against divine teachings, then they ruin it for themselves and for everybody else. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the month of Ramadan, and the blessings of the month of Ramadan, and the Quran of the month of Ramadan, and the Ahlul Bayt of the month of Ramadan, that He illuminates the hearts of the Muslim community and the people of the world with the light of the Quran, and that people that are addressed by this book, and God has provided this for their guidance, for our guidance. All of us wake up to that. All of us are able to take it on board, and all of us can inshallah enjoy a pleasant life on earth, and then a much more pleasant life in a world that is on a higher level in terms of its capacity of giving us pleasance, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially the ulama and maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who've left this world. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests, especially those suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses, oppressions. And we ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Min Nabiyyi wa Alihi, rahimallah.